This morning's scripture comes from the book of Proverbs, chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Anyone tired of hearing political candidates?
Amen.
Oh, well. With all the troubles we have in our nation today, God has had the answer the whole time. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. I would love for one candidate, just one, to open his Bible and tell that to the people of this world, the people of this country. We call it a sunrise and a sunset because we look at things at our perspective. The sun does not rise, nor does it set. You see, the sun is the center of the universe. We rotate around it. But man always tends to look at things from their own point of view. And we tend to lean upon our own understanding. And in our understanding, we get very skewed perceptions on what God really wants. What God really wants us to do, brethren. Look at the world as He sees it. And if we take a look at the world as God sees it, then we will have a true perspective of what God wants and expects from each and every one of us. Believe it or not, Solomon wrote over 3,000 Proverbs and wrote over 1,005 songs. 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 32 reveals this. We do not have all of this in the scripture, but this is revealed. Proverbs is a section in the Bible known as wisdom literature. The other books in this section are Job, Psalms, Ecclesiastes, and the Song of Solomon, or the Song of Songs, as some translate. The focus of these books instruct men in the ways of the Lord, and in His service, and in His worship. The book of Proverbs is a collection of teachings from Solomon to his son, showing a young man how to live his life in a manner that was pleasing to the Lord. I could have used this instruction a long time ago. If there is a key verse that unlocks the power and purpose of this great book, it would be the verse that our brother Doug had just read. If we learn wisdom and knowledge, it must begin with the fear of the Lord. This is a subject that isn't preached about very much in our day, but it is still vital to the Christian's faith. We need to know what the fear of the Lord is all about. There's a very vital line in the thought in the book of Proverbs, and it's mentioned roughly 18 times in its pages. In all, the phrase can be found 27 times in the Bible. Why would God put so much emphasis on this? It's all about fearing the Lord. I believe we need to know what it means to go about doing it. And therefore, I'd like to take a few minutes here to preach on this book on the fear of the Lord. I believe that the Lord wants to teach us and school us on this matter of what fearing Him is all about. He wants you and me to grow in our relationship. God is possessive of us. When we are baptized into the Lord, we are baptized into His possession. He is our Father, and we are His child. He cares for us and He loves us. What does the phrase, the fear of the Lord, mean? When we think of fear, we associate this word with terror. Webster's dictionary defines fear as a feeling of anxiety and agitation produced by the presence or nearness of danger, evil, and pain. For many, this would describe a feeling you get when you see a snake, have to go to a doctor, or when you have to go to a dentist. Or when we find ourselves in an extreme danger. It is a dread of the unknown. But surely this is not the sensation that God wants to create in us, because God has made His will known to us. In our modern language, the word fear, in its context in which it's used by Solomon, has been replaced by reverence, awe, great respect. What the writer of the book is saying, that we are to have a deep reverence and respect for our Lord and our God, our Creator. Literally, we are to be awed and humbled by His very presence. But what does it mean to fear the Lord? When we truly fear the Lord, we will recognize that He is the Creator and we are the created. Hard to accept. He is the Master, we are the servants. He is the Father, and we are the children. This attitude will manifest itself in us having a respect for God, His Word, and in us having a desire to do what He tells us to do in His Bible. We relate this kind of fear to that which a child has for its parents. A child knows if they do wrong that a parent can punish. A parent can spank. A parent can abuse. And they know, and they have a reverential fear of that. That's not what God wants. God wants us to know that when we sin, He grieves. And why does He grieve? It's because He loves you. He's your child. Excuse me, we are His child. So many people in this world do not understand how much He loves us. If God would stop thinking about one thing, it would be gone. He loves you that much. You are His care, His concern. He obligates Himself to your care. He grieves because of our sin, my sin, the world's sin. The fear of the Lord is nothing more than a deep-seated reverence for a God that causes men to want to please Him at all costs. Children don't want to hurt their parents' feelings. We don't want to hurt our God's feelings. Just like the children's song said, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." Then we can go on to the next verse. Jesus loves me when I'm bad. That's right, He loves you in our sinful state. But it makes Him very sad. Genuine fear of the Lord, as expressed in the Scriptures, has always been seen in an obedience to the Word of God. Proverbs 8:13. People who do not walk in line with God's Word or do not fear the Lord, regardless of what they profess with their lips. Jesus dealt with this situation while He was here on earth, as He was speaking to the Pharisees. He says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things I say? I'm not your Lord. I'm not the Lord of your life. Therefore, when we fear the Lord, there is an element of dread of what His wrath can do to us. But there is also such a respect for him and his will that nothing else matters but what nothing should else matter than what God desires and wants from us. Remember, kids, remember the last time you did something good? Do you remember that great feeling you got from your parents? When they come up, give you a chuck in the shoulder, a rub in the head, or a kiss, or a hug? You remember how great that feeling was? We get the same thing from the Lord, although it's not physical. Oswald Chambers, a minister of the Lord, declared this: a remarkable thing about fearing God is that when you fear God, you fear nothing else. Whereas if you do not fear God, you fear everything else. Would you describe our lives as one being lived in the fear of God? Does the dread of His wrath prompt us to holiness? Does respect for Him and His will propel us toward obedience and godliness? We all, including myself, first, need to fear the Lord. But you know what? There is a blessing in fearing the Lord. There are great dividends that God provides for each and every one of us who fear the Lord. According to the book, the fear of the Lord will produce certain benefits in our life. When we fear the Lord, we will find very certain things to be very true. It is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Proverbs 15:33. The best place to search for true wisdom is in the fear of the Lord. True fear of the Lord is born out of knowledge of how infinitely powerful, majestic, and full of goodness our God is. Before one can grow in the Lord, one must first learn to fear Him. The term God, G-O-D, translated from Hebrew. Does anyone know what it means? Good. God. It means good. It motivates people to holiness when we fear the Lord. The Lord tells us, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Proverbs 3 and 7. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Proverbs 16 and 6. These verses tell us that the fear of the Lord promotes holy living in our lives. When we reverence and respect the Lord as we should, we will not do nothing that brings disgrace, dishonor, or pain to the heart of our Lord. People who genuinely fear the Lord will flee from evil. The prospect of causing the Lord pain will be too great to bear. Children, you understand this probably better than the adults. There's nothing more that you love than to watch your parents smile upon you. When we obey the Lord, He smiles upon His children. And it gives us such a great feeling. Job is a great example of what fear of the Lord will produce in your life. I'm going to read from Job chapter 1, verse 8. And the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on the earth. A blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil. Turning away from evil. You know what's real important about this scripture? Is the response to God's worst enemy in the next line. Then Satan answered the Lord, "Does Job fear God for nothing? Hast thou not made a hedge about him and his house, and that all he has on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land." God's greatest adversary says, "I can't touch him because you have placed a hedge about him." A hedge is a fortress in the translation. God, where he puts a fortress, no one breaks in. It prolongs life. The fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Proverbs 10:27. Now this is not a blanket promise, brethren, at all. Jesus lived 33 to 34 years, approximately. This is not a blanket statement. However, generally speaking, those who live in the fear of the Lord are more likely to live to a good old age than those who live for the flesh. For remember, the Lord says, "That which you sow, that also shall you reap." 60% of human illnesses can be traced directly or indirectly to fear, sorrow, envy, resentment, guilt, hatred, and to any other emotional stresses. Add to that the awfulness by immorality, venereal diseases, AIDS. We can see that a life lived in the fear of the Lord with obedience to His Word will result in a much healthier existence. It produces a sense of security, the fear of the Lord does. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and His children shall have a place of refuge. Proverbs 14:26. When we are walking in the fear of the Lord, we can have confidence that God is on our side. Romans 8:31. "What shall we say to these things?" the Apostle Paul declares through the Spirit. "If God be for us, who can be against us?" The person who is walking in the fear of the Lord and is living by the book will not have to worry about insecurity, abandonment, and fear. There will be far fewer times when salvation is doubted. The fear of the Lord produces a strong sense of security and a close fellowship with the Father. This is a very blessed benefit, brethren. The fear of the Lord produces life. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Proverbs 14:27. When we walk in the fear of the Lord, we are stronger spiritually than we could be otherwise. The fear of the Lord is like a fountain that continually springs up with spiritual vitality and strength. This enables the Christian to walk cleaner and closer with his God, thus avoiding the temptations and the traps of the devil. It makes all of life better, walking in the fear of the Lord. The Lord declares, "Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great trouble that accompanies it. This verse teaches us that it's better to have limited resources and be in the will of God than to have plenty and trouble that comes along with it. The bottom line here is, when you are in the Lord's will, brethren, and when I am in the Lord's will, when we are walking in His fear, then your care is no longer your responsibility. Did you know that? It is God's responsibility. God obligates Himself to your care. Matthew 6:25-33. I'll go further. For this reason I say to you, do not be anxious for your life, as to what you shall eat or what you shall drink, not for your body as to what you shall put on. Is not life more than food, and the body than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, neither do they reap, nor do they gather into barns, and yet their heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can hold a single cubit to his lifespan? And why are you anxious about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all his glory, did not clothe himself like one of these. But if God so arrays the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow it is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more do for you, O men of little faith? Do not be anxious then, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, and with what shall we clothe ourselves? For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he will add these things unto you. It produces a satisfaction and a safety, the fear of the Lord does. The fear of the Lord tends to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. The person who lives in the fear of God will be a satisfied person. They will have one goal in this life: pleasing God. Therefore, they will have all their needs met, and they will have a contentment. When we must have other stuff to make us happy, we never will be. When we learn to be satisfied with the Lord and with the privilege of walking in his fear, we will be permanently satisfied. Nothing will matter but the smile of God, and it will be upon our lives. Notice this verse says that this kind of person will not be visited with evil. The person who walks in genuine fear of the Lord need never fear of going to hell. Romans 8:1. For there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We need never to fear many of the things that beset the world around us. By the walk in the fear of the Lord, he brings a smile and the hedge of God into his life. Job 1:10. God puts the hedge around you. It brings great blessings, brethren. By humility and fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. The person who chooses to walk in the fear of the Lord can rest assured that his decision will bring great blessings into his life. There will be spiritual riches beyond belief. The repentant sinner that truly obeys the gospel receives every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. Nothing is withheld. Nothing. Not to mention peace, joy, hope, security in the promises of God, and the very presence of God indwelling in you, the Holy Spirit. There will be honor from the Lord, and there will be an abundant life, John 10:10. The fear of the Lord produces the greatest possible life that any person can ever live. There is no better life upon this earth than a life that is lived in the fear of the Lord. the one who truly lived in the fear of the Lord, where is he now? He sits at God's right hand, the side of authority. To put it simply, walking in the fear of the Lord is going to have to be your individual decision, brethren. No one can make you do it, and no one can do it for you. The decision to live a life that is ordered around a holy, reverential respect for God is a decision we all must make for ourselves. All I can do is tell you that deciding to walk in the fear of the Lord will produce a better life down here and will result in a life greatly blessed by the Lord. A decision to live outside the fear of the Lord, that is, living to please yourself and only for yourself, does not bring the blessings of God, but His judgment to bear in your life. Now, if you are not saved, we will never be able to get away with our sin. John 12 and 48, Revelation 20, verse 12. For at the judgment, this will what will be opened, and we will be judged according to the things that are written therein. A life not lived in the fear of the Lord, it will tell on you. If you fear Him and you want to honor Him in everything, He will come first, and His will be paramount in our lives. To see those who walk in the fear of the Lord is easy. His house is a priority. I'm not talking about the physical house. I'm speaking about His family, unit, and element. See, His house is a priority. Prayer and the Scriptures are priorities. Everything God says in His Word will take priority and precedent over that man's house. It'll take priority over one's personal will and desires. The Lord's way becomes the only way. By the same token, a life lived outside the fear of the Lord is easy to pick out as well. The things of God will be secondary. Other matters will be consistently placed ahead of the Lord and His will and His work. This kind of life is usually filled with trouble and trial. There is more headache and disaster in a life lived outside the fear of the Lord. And this is not the way God wants for any of His children. And when I say children, all His offspring, not just the Christian. To each Christian, we are each given a ministry. That ministry is to preach the Word to every living creature. This is the ministry of reconciliation. This is the ministry of reconciliation where God takes men and women and puts His words into their minds and into their mouths and projects it to the world. And if you are here today and you understand that we or you are not walking in the fear of the Lord, and you're willing to take God at His word and to obey Him, we are here to provide that service for you. It is free and available by the obedience of the gospel. On behalf of God and His Lord and Savior Jesus, who gave His life for each and every one of us, He declares this: through His unworthy servant, be reconciled to God. Do not let the day pass while the Lord is still pleasantly waiting for you to come home. And if you have any other need, please come forward now while we stand and while we sing.